God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson and a message on removing the handcuffs. Today, we're just getting started in this multiple-part message on breaking free. Things that we know have gripped us, have slowed us down, have literally put us in handcuffs. But there's a way out and a way through. We'd love to pray with you about it. We're here at 24/7, as a matter of fact, at 866-899-WORD. Jot that number down. Store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll always connect with one of us, happy to talk or listen or pray or connect with resources that will help you grow, like the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. It's absolutely free for the asking. Ask for it when you call, 866-899-9673. And now, a continuation of today's message with Dr. Don Wilson on removing the handcuffs.
All of us need to hear a word from God. All of us are struggling. We're faced by many complex problems, are we not? Life does not always deal fairly to everyone. Many of us are bound. In our scripture for life during these days, we are looking at something that is just remarkable. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. I hope and pray and trust that my children, my two sons and my daughter, are already growing up adopting many of their father's good habits. I hope that they adopt some good habits. I hope that in my fatherly exercise, that I am passing on to my children things that would bring great joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true. All of us receive wonderful things that are handed down from our parents and from our grandparents and from generations before us. But there's something that we have to be confronted with, and that is simply this, that the Bible teaches us that the sins of our fathers and of generations before us are handed down to us, and that we are going to be handcuffed by the sins of our fathers. As much as I am always proud when someone comes and compliments me on something, says to me, "Pastor, you know, you do that just like your daddy, and if it's a good thing, I'm very glad." But I don't want to have to be handcuffed by the things that my father struggled with, or my grandfather, or my mother, or my grandmother. I don't want to be handcuffed by selfishness or by pride or by anger. I don't want to be handcuffed by the physical things that have been handed down to me. Oh, we talk about hereditary, and that is manifoldly true. In fact, the number one issue that doctors deal with is this matter of physical things that are handed down from one generation to another, whether it's kidneys or heart or whatever it might be. We know that family history is very, very important. But here God calls upon us to take spiritual inventory. Now let's read about this together. Here in Exodus chapter 34. The Bible says, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name." Now, I want us to just stop there for a moment, because I want you to see something here. Can you just imagine? Here is Moses, a man eminently educated, someone who had grown up in the court of Pharaoh, someone who perhaps knew a lot about geography and history, a man who probably had studied psychology, a man of influence, a man of authority, and God comes to pay him a special visit on Mount Sinai. And he causes Moses to be in this place, and there is a meeting between God and one of us. And God walks up to Moses, he takes him by the hand, and he says, "Let me tell you about me. I am who I am." You got that? He says, "Listen, pay attention. I want to tell you something about me. I want you to pay attention. You understand me? I want you to listen to who I am. Because if you don't know who I am, you don't have a hope. Because you're nothing. You are absolutely nothing. You are going to be in so much trouble, you will never be able to overcome. You will never cope with life. You certainly will not be able to lead other people through the wilderness. You will never be able to break the cycle. I want to tell you about me. So you listen up. You understand me? Now watch this, folks. It's rather confrontational, isn't it? Let's go back here into Exodus chapter 34. God appears on Mount Sinai with Moses, walks up to Moses, and he establishes a spiritual criterion. God puts in place his theological order. Let's read this again. Verse 5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name. Proclaimed his name. I want you to understand what happened here, folks. This encounter is within itself God saying something to the heart of man about where we ought to begin. God teaching his children that it's not what you, my children, can do for me. It's what I am able to do for you because of who I am. All right, now watch this. Watch this. God says as he comes down, I am proclaiming my name and I am who I am. Verse 6, and God passed in front of Moses, just in case Moses missed the point, and said again twice. And by the way, the word there, proclaiming, is the word from which we get our word to gospelize or to herald forth. It means to make a public announcement on God's public address system. It means that God stood there in all of his righteous glory and he boomed and bellowed forth from the very heart of who he is. He announced who he is. He let Moses know in no uncertain terms. He proclaimed, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. And I can just see Moses standing there, awestruck in the Shekinah presence of the glory of God. And at that moment, God drops a bomb on him. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and to the fourth generation. How do we break the cycle? How do we remove these handcuffs? How do we draw a line in the sand? We saw, first of all, 2 or 3 weeks ago, by accepting God's foundational principles. A week ago, we saw in the second place that what God was teaching Moses here is that we remove the handcuffs and we break the cycle by knowing who God is. And last week we looked at the first three attributes. Number one, that he is a compassionate God. Number two, that he is a gracious God. Number three, that he is slow to anger. That's what the word says right there in verse 6. He says, I am slow to anger. And if God is slow to anger, it means that he is not any good to me, but it means that he is generous to me. God's generosity, which flows out of his goodness, is granted to me by his regal declaration, by the right of his royal throne. God speaks to my heart. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. But let's look at the fourth attribute. God is love. God is love. Now, friends, this is a remarkable statement that God says to Moses and shares with us. The Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, Yahweh, announcing to Moses for all the ages, he says, I am who I am, abounding in love. And I want you to note in verse 6 that word abounding in love. That word abounding means my love is so deep that it cannot be measured. It is so wide, it cannot be described. It is so high, it cannot ever be reached. I am talking about an abounding love that defies human description. When one of my sons was just a little lad, he was about 2 bricks and a ticky high. He was a small fella. Took us up to about there, and I can't remember which one of our 2 boys I'm talking about. But I do remember that he barely had diapers on, and he came waddling into the kitchen one day. There he was. He walked into the kitchen, and Mom and I were standing kind of in the dining room just through one of the doors, and we spotted him, and there he came. And he looked around, and evidently he was thirsty. He wanted something to drink. And so he looked around the kitchen, and then he walked over, and he looked up on the counter, and all the countertops were about here, way out of his reach. And folks, lo and behold, on top of one of those counters was a big jug of orange juice. And he looked up, and you could just see it all over his face. Ah, orange juice. Cup. He went over here to where he knew he could go. He found himself a nice cup. He put the cup on the counter, and Mom began to get restless. She said, "I'm going to help him." I said, "Nope, hold on. I didn't know what I was letting us in for." I said, "Let's just watch this. I wish we had a video camera then." And I tell you, that little chap, he went up there, he picked up that orange juice. It was the biggest jar of orange juice. It was far bigger than he could ever hold. He picked it up and he began to turn it over like that to pour himself a glass of orange juice. Guess what happened, folks? All the orange juice in the jar decided to get into this one little cup all at the same time. And I want to tell you, that cup just filled up. It flowed over the edges. Orange juice began to go down in all the knives and forks and the cutlery, down onto the floor. It was all over the floor. And that little boy stood back and said, "Uh-oh." Then another little spark went off in his mind. He said, "Boy, is this great." He walked over, got into the orange juice. I mean, he sat down, he put orange juice all over him. Mom's having a heart attack, and we've never forgotten it. You know, somehow in that illustration, I think of the abounding love of God. God trying to say to Moses, evidently, within the pitiful understanding of his human limitation, that, "Moses, I want to establish something, that my love is not just love, it is an abounding love. It is an overflowing love. It is a love that you are unable to comprehend. And within your own being, you're never going to be able to contain the love of God. And when I fill you with the power and presence of my abounding love, I am going to flow not only through you, but pass through you, and I'm going to flow into every sector of life that I invite you to touch for my sake. But Moses, I'm going to begin with you." God's love. Do you mean to tell me that God loves me that much?
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more in a minute. But don't let the enemy blind you to that truth. God loves you that much. It could be the most important thing you'll hear today to break free of some of the lies that you've perhaps even told yourself. God loves you. And I pray that you would let us encourage you in any way possible, either online at tewonline.org, that's tewonline.org, or 866-899-WORD, available 24 hours a day to talk or listen or pray. 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Well, what does it mean that his love is abounding? It means, first of all, my friends, that God deals with me lovingly. It means that God deals with me lovingly. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Don't miss this, because this is the best news you could ever hear. If God deals with me lovingly out of his righteousness, this is what it means. It means, first of all, that he still condemns my sin. If he deals with me lovingly and he is a righteous God, it means, my friends, that he still condemns my sin. Second of all, it means that he still punishes me because of my sin. But third of all, it means, my friend, that he still loves me despite my sin. Woo! Now listen carefully. Listen to what God is saying. God is standing here before Moses, and he is declaring himself, I am who I am. He's talking to one of the initial representatives of the human race. God is writing these things down as the law of God. These are the fundamental truths upon which I stand. This is where I go because I must needs depend upon the grace of Almighty God in Christ Jesus. And he says to Moses, Moses, my love abounds. And I want you to know that that means that I'm going to deal with you lovingly. But if he loves me that much, it also means in the second place that he's going to provide for me completely. Someone who loves to abounding not only deals with me lovingly, but provides for me completely. And that means that God is promising me here, because he is the covenant God, that his provision for me is not only going to be complete in terms of what he gives to me, it is going to be complete in terms of what he makes me be. I am declared complete because of the righteousness of God in me. Now, are you with me this morning? God speaking. God writing these upon the tablets of our hearts. God declaring to you and to me in the midst of our handcuffed predicaments, I love you. I'm going to deal with you lovingly. I'm going to provide for you completely. And if God is going to provide for me completely, he's going to provide for me in four areas of the completion of my life. Number one, he's going to provide for me physically, because I have physical needs. And much of my physical need is handed down. I have inherited that. I am visited upon the sins of my fathers. And by the way, my friends, let there be no mistake. That physical ailment and the death of the body is the consequences of sin. We die because we have sinned. There is no other way. Our mortal bodies are mortal because we have sinned against the righteousness of God. We are sentenced to death. God provides for me completely in that he provides for me physically. Number two, he provides for me materially. My material needs, my material bondage. I've heard people say, and I believe them, that person there is in a cycle of poverty. Now, I'm not preaching name it and claim it. I'm not even going to suggest to you one minute that just because you love the Lord Jesus Christ that you're going to be wealthy. Absolutely not. I don't believe that for one minute. I'm talking about people that are caught in a cycle of poverty. And there are people today who are caught in a cycle of poverty that has been a cycle of poverty for generations to come. And friend, I don't know these things, but God says the sins of your fathers will be handed down. How do you break that cycle? God provides for me completely because of his love. He provides for me physically. He provides for me materially. He provides for me emotionally. Emotional bondage is a huge subject. My anger, my heart, my disposition, my personality trait, my pride, my hostility, my silence. Do you know how many wives there are today existing in marriages in which their husbands have resorted to silence? Do you know how many men there are who are grown men who can scream blue murder at a ball game, but they resort to silence at home? They sit there. They never say anything. They have no communication. They do not share their lives. They are closed completely. And they are giving so much grief and anguish to their wives and to their children. And the classic explanation of that is, well, he's just like his daddy. You can break the cycle. How? Because God loves you aboundingly. He provides for you completely, physically, emotionally, materially, but above all, he provides for you spiritually. God, in his infinite goodness, is interjecting his own person, the Godhead. He is saying to you and to me, I am who I am. And I want you to know that if you do not understand who I am, if you do not make it your business to know who God is, you're on your own. You are locked in. Listen to me, friend. Our world is engaged in a search for significance. We have announced to the world how brilliant we are. We can send spaceships up to the moon. We can invent every kind of invention one could imagine. We can put computer systems together. We can design missiles that are fired from ships in the Arabian Sea to hit the very target that they are designed to hit. We can do incredible things. But God is warning human race that your search for significance will never have any significance outside of who God is. It is a meaningless exercise. Our own human brilliance is a dead-end road. It will end in destruction. And in today's day and age, we are running around chasing one another for brilliance and for excellence, to make straight A's in the quest for human understanding. And God stands before Moses and says, write these things on the tablet of your heart. I am who I am because I am the Lord your God. Wow. Wow. What an incredible thing. God is love. He deals with me lovingly. He provides for me completely. And number three, he identifies with me objectively. If God's love is abounding, it means that he identifies with me objectively. What this means is that because of his love, God brings me into a covenant relationship with him that allows me to know him and to enjoy him. This is God's divine permission. God's love is God's divine permission based upon his kingly, regal invitation to become partnered into the sovereignty of a God whose love is abounding and who knows no end. Who is this God? Oh God, that you would love me, a wretched sinner. God is love. But then he takes it to another height and he said, he is faithful. He is faithful. Look at verse 6. As he passed in front of Moses, he said, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and abounding in faithfulness. God evidently determined that if there was anything we needed to understand concerning his attributes, it was his faithfulness. And if we're going to understand his faithfulness, we've got to understand three or four things, which I will not complete. But I want to begin by saying to you, if we're going to understand the faithfulness of God, we've got to understand that what God was saying is that God's life does not change. His life. You go to Psalm 93 and verse 2, the psalmist says, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. And if God's life does not change, it means four things, my friends. Write these things down. It means, number one, that his position has not changed. If his life hasn't changed, because his life is his position. God's existence has not changed. Here's the question. When did God begin? Well, he began at the beginning. Well, where's the beginning? It's in the beginning. I kind of get giddy when I start talking about the existence of God. The Bible uses terms like this. Listen, from before the foundation of the world. Well, my human limitation cannot stretch that far. I can no longer even contemplate what it means to be in the beginning. And what God is saying is when he says, I am faithful and my faithfulness abounds and that you need to know this, I want you to know what I'm telling you is my life does not change. My position does not change. My existence does not change. My purpose does not change because I am who I am. God has purposed from before the foundation of the world all that I am. The Son of God has secured the purpose of God in terms of all who I am. And the Holy Spirit of God has come down to apply the purpose of God based upon the security of Jesus Christ to the heart and soul of all people who love him. God is saying here, my life hasn't changed, and my life is who I am. It is my position, it is my existence, it is my purpose, and it is my creation, because all the world was created for me. I am who I am. I made the world, and I alone am God.
What a powerful message. You've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton. We'll continue with more of this Removing the Handcuffs series tomorrow. But it could be that today is the day for you to break free. And it starts with the most important decision of all, the decision to follow Jesus Christ, just to say yes. So many of my years of my life, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't give my heart to him. Are you ready to do that today?
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin. And I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
If you were praying while Dr. Don was leading that prayer and gave your life to Jesus Christ, have you rededicated your life to Christ? We are so excited to see how God and his power is changing you from the inside out. And it's just beginning. You know, it could be that there are situations and circumstances you'd like to have someone pray you through, especially in the next. We're here to do that. As a matter of fact, we'd love to put some resources in your hands that'll just help you grow in your faith. Call us at 866-899-9673 and let us know you gave your life to Christ, rededicate your life, and we'll send you that information right away. A wonderful packet from Dr. Don. That's 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org where you'll discover great resources like this.
This month at The Encouraging Word, we would like to spotlight a new ministry resource to help you fight the heart and soul of your millennial child. Abandon Faith, Why Millennials Are Walking Away and How You Can Lead Them Home is a powerful book by Alex McFarland and Jason Jimenez. His book will provide insights, answers, and real-life solutions for parents of millennials living in challenging times. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request Abandon Faith for your gift of $20 and support of The Encouraging Word today. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but let's stay connected online at tewonline.org or call us at 866-899-9673.